Hello, my friends. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Christmas week. You guys are enjoying your fantastic Friday.
Austin is in a gaming mood today.
We got a lot of stuff to bring up today. Had a lot of questions about different topics that we're going to bring up, a lot of health stories. I think we're going to also hit the top 10 foods never to eat.
We have had a request that they want to hear the top 10 foods never to eat because they have a lot of new listeners they brought to the show. And we're going to cover those top 10 foods.
So welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest
world news and health research and the top 10 foods never to eat.
Hope you guys are getting ready for this. You're going to enjoy it. And also, to be sure to check out the product of the week. You voted and it won. The Purple Sticks on sale right now for over 20% off.
Wow.
On the website. It's one of the best formulas we have, and it's the new formula we brought together for you guys. The ingredient list is chock full of all types of high quality nutrients.
Look at all these nutrients,
antioxidants, and of course, as always, we give you the raw base ingredients on every single product. We don't sit there and candy coat it or try to
we don't say proprietary
blend or try to just put one specific ingredient list. We break it down for you guys just like we use the methylcobalamin, B12, and multiple other vitamins and nutrients in here. So be sure to check it out. You can mix it up in a glass, in a shaker, in a blender, throw it in a scooper, in your yogurt. In fact, I was actually going to make one earlier as I had some water. I don't have much water left. But again, this is why we put this product together, to give everybody a sustained release nutrient stimulant that's healthy and good for you every single day.
I had three this morning.
Did you?
I started early this morning and I had a couple of them and I finally took one more and I thought, you know what? If I've got to do these top 10 foods never to eat again, I got to be energized.
Well, you got to be energized and you got to be able to, you know, weekend's coming up.
One of the top 10 foods never to eat is coffee. Of course, you don't really eat coffee, you drink it.
Drink coffee.
But yeah, we don't.
It's in that classification.
Yeah, it's in that classification. So you got to stay away from coffee because it increases the risks of all kinds of diseases, including breast cancer, according to some research.
Well, that's why we don't use coffee in this product.
That's
we use
right.
Green tea extract.
And it elevates cortisol, which makes you have a stress hormone response, which makes you not want to sleep at night. And so that's why coffee didn't. You know, I used to drink 18 cups of coffee a day.
That's a lot.
When I was in college, this is camera rich. I used to drink 18 cups of coffee a day when I was in college. At Florida State, and I was actually working for a company called, well, it was a coffee service company. I'm not going to promote it. And I had a friend of mine who owned it, and he gave me a bun coffee maker. And I would sit there in the morning and have that thing on a timer, and I would have my coffee. And I'd tell my roommates at that point, don't talk to me, don't get in my space, don't breathe my air until I've had at least 3 to 4 cups of coffee every morning. And
that's horrible.
It was horrible.
That's horrible.
I didn't say I was a nice person. I just said that's the way I was. This is what happens when you know, you're in your early 20s, your testosterone's at, you know, 1500 or whatever, and you're still kind of aggressive. Now I'm more relaxed.
And you're addicted to caffeine at the same time.
So, yeah, but then I tell you what, though, when I was 27 years old, I came down with heart disease, almost died from it.
That'll get you.
I was in bed for 3 months. I tell you what, that coffee came to a screeching halt. And what I did is I weaned myself off. I went from 18 to 17 to 16 to 15. It took me about 3-4 weeks. Finally, I got to that half cup. Then the next day I stopped using it, and then the headache started. And the reason that happens with caffeine, but you drink coffee, and pretty much any caffeine will do this if you get addicted to it. You end up having you have vasoconstriction of the arterioles that feed the brain, and then the blood vessels. And then what happens is if you don't have the caffeine, they dilate, they get bigger, causing cranial pressure, giving you these ridiculously wicked caffeine headaches. And so I don't like those. So I try to. They're horrible.
Nobody likes those.
No, I've gotten up in the morning. You know, like with a migraine because I slept in too late in college and didn't have my coffee first thing.
Caffeine addiction
is nauseous. It's horrible.
In the DSM-5 as a full-blown addiction. It's classified addiction in DSM-5.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not a joke when you get that hooked
on. And that's why I started using the purple sticks, the green tea extracts. And I tell you what, it made a huge difference in my life.
Yeah.
It really did. Really dropped the quarters, let me start sleeping well at night again. But the first food is interesting because an article just came out talking about pork now has been injected with the mRNA vaccine now for about 6 or 7 years, and it contains prions, which lead to Alzheimer's disease. Now, you know, whether all that's true or not, I don't know because I haven't done cross-sectional slides on these animals after they've been, you know, dead and autopsied, I guess. But the reality is the number one food that I tell you guys never to eat is pork. I told you guys a story one time that I was on WGN in Chicago, and the farm forecaster was there, and I talked about not eating pork, and he went berserk, came in and grabbed the live microphone, started screaming at me, stood up over me, like where Austin is right now, standing up over me, except the table wasn't quite this wide.
Yeah.
And I grabbed my microphone, I stood up, I started screaming at him. They went to commercial break, and it was crazy. I never came back on that station again, but boy, I tell you what, people loved it in Chicago, especially a bunch of scrappers up there. And now that was funny. But number one food never to eat at a high-fat luncheon meets bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs, anything with pork products in it. Beef is okay. It really is.
Make sure it doesn't have sodium nitrite.
That's exactly right. Make sure it does not have sodium nitrite in it. Sodium nitrite reacts with stomach acids, form what are called nitrosamines, and they're one of the most effective agents known to man for producing malignant intestinal tumors and stomach cancers and intestinal cancers. So you don't want to ever eat cured luncheon meat, period. I don't care if it's beef or anything else. If you make sure you look on every label of any kind of sliced anything you get, make sure it does not contain sodium nitrite. That's really important. Number two on the list is NutraSweet aspartame or Equal diet sodas. I also include in that category now Splenda and all the rest of it. The only thing that's not in that category is going to be Sweet and Low. That's the pink stuff. You know, that's okay in moderation if you drink enough water. It's sodium saccharin. It's not that big of a deal in moderation. But the aspartame has been linked to brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerves, degradation. It's bad. So stay away from the blue. Stay away from the yellow because that basically is a chlorocarbon, which is a pesticide which can cause kidney failure and kidney damage. Unbelievably toxic. Plus, it wipes out the intestinal floor, too, because of the chlorine content of it. I was flying to Chicago one time, and I might have been on the same trip that I did when I was on with Danny Bonaducci up there in WGN. I remember I sat beside an organic chemist up there who was basically flying up there he was going back from a conference. And he told me that he will never, ever put Splenda in his body because he does not want that chlorine pesticide in his body. I thought, okay, well, it's pretty nasty. So he said that's the worst one of the bunch. Now, I think it's a toss-up between the aspartame and the chlorocarbon. But when you combine aspartame with nitrites, you form a chemical called the diketiopeperazine. So if you go out and have a pepperoni pizza with a diet soda, you form diketiopeperazine. If you have a ham sandwich with a glass of iced tea and you sweeten it with aspartame, you form a diketiopeperazine, which then degrades to form a nitrosuria, which is one of the most effective agents known to man for producing malignant brain tumors in laboratory animals. That's one of the reasons we have so many people now with brain cancer and brain tumors. I see it all the time. I had a friend of mine, he had a son, and he was living on basically ham sandwiches and diet sodas and all the rest and drinking coffee. I mean, everything you possibly do. And sure enough, he's early 20s and he came down with brain cancer. And he was able to stay alive for 3 or 4 or 5 more years with that, but he finally passed away. He's a good kid, too. He just made some really bad choices at a young age, and he didn't have a chance, honestly, from a health standpoint, to get his health back. So that was a sad story. Number three, to stay away from our margarine products, which, unless you're living in a cave in Afghanistan with Osama bin Laden, you got to hear this one. You've already heard this one. Don't use hydrogenated oils, period.
And that also, too, now, under that category is also the seed oils with canola oil and soybean oil.
Yeah, because they can all be hydrogenated, too. And also, they're just bad for you in general.
Bad for you in general.
So stay away from those products. And, you know, use real butter. This morning, I had the privilege of having your kids hang out with me last night. They spent the night. This morning, I got them up and made a bunch of eggs. Cooked a real organic butter out of New Zealand.
Yeah.
Black butter is good.
Really good.
Oh, my gosh. That's good butter. And so they loved it. You know, and they're running around all hyper. And then I gave them some biscuits, and they were all happy. And Ken only ate one biscuit, which is okay.
Hunter probably 2 or 3.
Hunter ate 2 biscuits, yes. Yeah. And so, but they loved it. But I said, you got to eat the protein and the fat first before you dump this carbohydrate stuff into your system. And then number four, to stay away from is shellfish. That includes lobster, shrimp, oyster, prawns, scallops, crabs, and clams. And I don't want to hear it. Okay, I know you love your lobster. I got it.
We're from Florida.
I got it.
Okay. Seafood's a big deal down here.
So if you're going to eat it, make sure you dip it in real butter instead of margarine. But remember, a lobster is an arthropod. A cockroach is an arthropod. All the lobster is the giant cockroach in the bottom of the ocean. I mean, if you flip the lights on in your kitchen at night and you had cockroaches running on the refrigerator, that's
lobsters,
disgusting.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now you see lobsters running in behind them. You're like, this is awful. what are these horrible creatures doing? Oh, but we think they taste good. And they do taste good.
Get one. I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, they do taste good. But they can have abnormally high levels of arsenic, lead, mercury, as all filter feeders can, shellfish. So stay away from those types. And God said don't eat it. He said that. He said in the book of Leviticus, he said stay away from that stuff. And then he said, if you don't listen to me and you don't do what I say, you're going to get cancer and all these diseases. So he says.
Well, and then you got the sweeping side, too, of that as far as with shellfish being the bottom feeders and a lot of the other fish, the massive, the predator fish that you really kind of want to stay from, too, like swordfish.
And tuna fish, because you got
to. Sometimes they have real high levels of mercury in them as well. They eat everything.
Oh, yeah. Stay with the raw, not the raw.
Grouper, salmon.
Grouper, orange,
roughy.
Yeah. Make sure the salmon's going to be, you know, wild.
Wild caught.
Number five is the junk food. You know, now we're talking high fructose corn syrup.
Yep.
You also throw the seed oils into that category too. And, all the junk that people eat all of the time, Twinkies, Ding Dongs, cupcakes, don't be putting that stuff in your body, especially with the red dyes, blue dyes, yellow dyes. It's unbelievable the kind of trash that we put in our bodies. And number six is going to be soybean oil. And soybean oil has its own category because it's a phytoestrogen, and it actually causes gynomastia in men. That means enlargement of the breast tissue, not in a good way. And you have to buy yourself a training bra if you're a dude and you're eating a bunch of soy. That sounds kind of crude, but it's the truth. It's bad. I wrote an article that you can look at on Health Masters, and it says how to turn little boys into little girls, soy. And it's bad. It's real bad, actually. So stay away from any soy-based products ever. And, of course, that's, again, throws in some more seed oils with the canola oil and this corn oil and the safflower oil. Stay with butter. Stay with olive oil. That's it, pretty much. And you can use a little avocado oil, too, especially if you have mayonnaise. Make sure it's made with avocado oil. Number seven is chlorine and fluoride in the water supply. Always use a point-of-use filter. I use the distiller. We make water at the house. We make our own distilled water. When I go to restaurants, if I can't get bottled water, I bring my glass of water in with me. And I just tell them it's I have to have it for my medical requirements because I'm allergic to your water because it's got fluoride in it. By the way, you're allergic to fluoride too. It's a neurotoxin. Yes,
everybody's allergic.
And I really hope they pull that junk back out of the doggone.
Well, they did in Winter Haven. Remember we talked about the other day.
They did.
That next town over, they pulled it out, and a bunch of other cities all across the country now have been talking about pulling it out.
Well, it's hydrofluorosilicic acid, and what it does, it actually eats the pipes.
Well, and what they've said now is this: if you really want to get your daily dose of fluoride, which is not even healthy for you, there's every type of Listerine and mouthwash and toothpaste on the market if that's what you really want. But telling people they need to put it in their water supply, that's one of the stupidest concepts we've ever had.
You're medicating the water supply.
Exactly.
It's a horrible product. Number eight are high-fat dairy products. If you're going to use dairy products, get the raw certified milk, period.
Now, this is one thing I wanted to touch base on, because I brought this up the other day with you guys, the ultra-pasteurized organic milk now that's starting to get
bad.
It's everywhere. I told you guys we found out about this about a year and a half, 2 years ago when I was buying some of the organic milk from the store, and it was all ultra-pasteurized from a couple of good companies that always produce pretty good organic milk. And I started looking, I said, what is this ultra-pasteurized? Well, they didn't bother to tell anybody when they started doing this. This became the new thing, essentially, because you figure if pasteurized is good, well, then ultra-pasteurized is going to get better and safer, right? The answer is absolutely not. When you look at the scale here, regular high-temp pasteurization is around 161 degrees. It kills enzymes, much of the healthy microbes, denatures the protein, very difficult to digest. Ultra-pasteurized, it runs them over 280-degree stainless steel plates, essentially kills all bacteria in the milk, anything harmful or positive, also damages every vitamin, every mineral, every nutrient, every enzyme, every single aspect of the milk is essentially denatured. In most cases, ultra-pasteurized milk doesn't even have to be refrigerated. You can let it sit out on the shelf.
Sterile.
There's nothing there. It's literally an ultra-processed food. And so, again, this is something that's coming out now. They said the reason these milks are going under this ultra-high processing is because they're saying now that it's safer. And it makes sure there's no bacteria in it, and it can't transfer, spread anything. The problem with this is now they're also finding, allegedly, is that these products are causing horrific issues with lactose problems and everything else, digestion. Because remember, milk by itself has all types of different enzymes in it.
Phosphatase.
It's designed to break down in the stomach properly with the enzymes that are naturally in it. When you go in and you completely wipe out every living thing in this milk, and all you have left is basically the lactose and a few other ingredients in it, it becomes very difficult for the body to digest. And so this is one of the reasons why it's really, really make sure you stay away from this stuff. They go on to say your consumers who give ultra-high processed milk a closer look is horror is indeed a common response. They said the blogger who investigated the pasteurized options writes about how she came to the realization that neither conventional pasteurization nor organic high ultra-pasteurization milk was even healthy. She said, I could fill my kids' glasses with synthetic growth hormones and antibiotics, or I could give them milk that is so dead that those quotation marks are justified. And so essentially that's what they're talking about here now, is they're doing this all the time now with the organic milk to try to make it seem
Publix,
like
Publix, every product has
it is. They're almost all ultra-pasteurized. And that's why I got so frustrated. Mm-hmm. So there's a certified dairy farm in Florida, because Florida's really good about this, but certified dairy farm that produced some really good raw milk. That they got raw cheese, raw butter, everything down there.
Wow.
So,
well, that's it. So, yeah, now the dairies just need to avoid it. And, honestly, I used to buy that stuff a little bit for various reasons, and I finally stopped using it altogether. I said, I'm not going to put any of this sludge in my body. It's just horrible. And number eight, we already covered, you know, this morning already, or number nine, we already covered was the coffee products. Number 10 is an interesting one. It's alcohol. Now, I say this, every once in a while I'll have a Bailey's. I told you guys that. I have a glass of beer. So I'm not adjust. I have no halo to adjust, by the way. And, you know, so every once in a while I'll have something to drink like that. But I'm talking like once or twice a year. You know, and it's frustrating to me. You go on a date, you know, and now I'm back into the dating thing again. And the first thing they want to do is order drinks, the girl you go out with. So now I'm at the point of saying, I don't buy alcohol. And they're like, well, why not? I'm like, because I really don't drink. And they're like, well, why won't you buy me a drink? I said, you can buy your own drink. I'm not going to buy it. I said, it leads to pancreatic cancer, to liver cancer, to cirrhosis of the liver, to osteoporosis, to breast cancer. And I can't tell you how many people that I know, their lives have been ruined because of alcohol. You know, they said my life was a wreck, and then I started drinking, and everything got better. No, it's always the opposite. My life was doing great, and then I started drinking. We've got a friend right now who's in a one-year rehab facility because of alcohol. He ran into the neighbor's house last year, walked in, rang the doorbell, went to their liquor cabinet, and grabbed a bottle of vodka, started guzzling it. He's that addicted to alcohol, and it's a serious problem with a lot of people. And, you know, when you get addicted to it, my brother was an alcoholic. It's awful when you deal with that. He has no memory left now. His brain is shot. I mean, he looks awful. His teeth have fallen out. I mean, it's horrible what's happened to him. But, you know, he got to drink his beer and his alcohol all the time. And, you know, another thing, too. You know, let me just give you some dating advice here real quick. If you're going out with somebody and they don't drink, they may have recovered from alcoholism and they may be basically, you know, alcohol-free at this point and basically not want to be around alcohol. I'm just letting you know that. I've got a friend that I went out with, and I no longer see her, but she basically wants to drink every time you go out. And I told her, you can go drink all you want to drink. I'm not going to buy anything for you. And she'd have like one drink. Well, she got married, and her husband basically was a recovering alcoholic and had not had alcohol for years. Well, after about 7 years being married to her, he started drinking again. And he ended up having a liver transplant, ended up dying from this. And he told her, it's your fault this happened to me. You know, you exposed me to this stuff over and over and over and over again, and I finally gave back in. Now, is it her fault? Well, she sure didn't help. You know, it's always your own fault when you start doing stuff like that, and you could have gone to rehab. But this guy was a very successful guy. He was a pilot. He owned his own jet, everything. But he's gone, died very young. So be very careful if you go out with somebody, if they don't drink, to try to make them get a drink with you, because they may be a recovering alcoholic. They may be sober. And so you don't want to push them back to doing that again. And it's kind of rude to ask them, well, why don't you drink? Are you an alcoholic? Were you a drunk? That's kind of weird. Don't do stuff like that. So just be very, very, very careful. But remember, alcohol is going to increase again your risks of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer. I've got another friend of mine. She had a cousin who just basically had to have a liver transplant because of alcohol. And it's very difficult to get a liver transplant if you're an alcoholic, because the hospitals don't want to mess with it, because chances are you're going to start drinking again anyhow and destroy the new liver. So be very, very, very careful with alcohol. And if you can't control it, don't drink it and just stay away from it. And don't go to places where they serve it, like in a bar. Why do you want to go to a pub or to a bar? Yeah, it's just if you're trying to stay away from alcohol, really is really important. Anything else you want to add to this top 10 list, Ozzy?
No, that's some pretty good stuff, Len. That's why I want to add in the ultra high pasteurized dairy. Now, that was a key one that I wanted to add on there, and also the seed oils. That's another one that I want to add on there. But that list is pretty invasive as it is. There's a lot of stuff on it, but again, it's well documented.
But beef, eggs and butter. Yep. Are not included on the list.
Raw cheese, raw milk.
Like that's all fine too. Yeah, and purple sticks are not included on that list. They're good for you.
Chicken,
all kinds of nutrients in them. And you know, so I have chicken and vegetables all the time.
And here's the thing about it too. You know, there's certain foods sometimes you're going to be exposed to at restaurants or certain areas that you may not know about. That's going to happen. The biggest thing that I've told you guys so many times before is it's all about mitigation and moderation as best as you can. If you're out somewhere and you find out something had some crab in it or something had some pork in it and you didn't know it was in there, is it going to be that big of a deal? Probably not. Now, is it going to eat that stuff every single day or every single weekend? It's probably going to have some detrimental effects to it.
Unless you get parasites from it. Then it becomes a big deal.
Really big deal. But I mean, the thing is, parasites, that was a topic yesterday. That's a big deal. That's something that you definitely want to take care of. That's why we have the
parasites. Can you eat cats?
Depends what country you're in.
Well, no, we they were talking about eating cats up there in Ohio. Remember, the Haitians were eating
cats. She's in a raw cat. I think that's pretty frowned upon.
By the way, cats are considered an unclean meat. The Bible says don't eat cats.
Why did we get there?
No, well, you know, no,
don't eat dogs or horses either.
No, they're unclean. You have to eat that stuff, you know? The Bible's very clear about that, you know? It really is.
And gator is not clean either, even though everybody down here in Florida loves eating gator tail.
It's terrible. It tastes like chewing
chicken. I've had it before. I've had it many a times. I don't eat it anymore. I never have been a big fan of it. I've just gone
places. Tastes rubbery.
After gator season, gators everywhere because we all sell the meat and process it after we get rid of them. But it's never – the problem with gator meat is you got to, like, let it soak and you gotta prep it for so long and cook it with so much stuff to make it taste halfway
it's
decent.
Nasty, man.
And then the thing about it is after you've hunted about a dozen or so of these things, especially when you get them out of, like, Lake Jessup in the swamp and you pull them out and they stink to high heavens. They smell like a complete and total swamp bucket. And then you got them in the truck. You're taking the processor and they already start stinking within 30 minutes and you're like – you know, do I really want to throw this on the grill and skin this gigantic lizard and eat him? No, not really.
The other day I was driving home over here off of one of the road back roads, and there's a big old hog laying on the side.
I saw that too. Yeah, he's a big old boy. I mean, somebody hit him.
Somebody jump out of their truck real quick and throw him in the back. Oh, boy, fresh meat. Oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? I remember I talked to an FDA meat inspector one day, and he told me that every time he ever went to an FDA facility where they were slaughtering hogs, and we're talking domesticated pigs now, they all had worms in them. They were full of parasites. I mean, why do you want to – you say, well, I'm going to go ahead and make sure I cook it so the parasites are dead when I eat the parasites.
Please.
Whoa.
At least do that, McCauley.
No, I know that sounded like a Freudian slip, but it wasn't. I meant it to sound that way. I want to make sure I eat dead cooked parasites in the pig before I eat the pig raw. Okay, so you're still eating parasites, but you're eating dead cooked parasites. I hate to tell you this, with trichina, you got to heat that sucker up about 700-800 degrees to kill that trichina larvae. And most stoves aren't going to go that high. And most ovens don't go that high. So you're not going to have a chance of killing this stuff, and they're going to get inside of your body, cause all kinds
of
problems.
There is a very significant amount of evidence and there's a lot of videos online that you can watch, people talking about issues with parasite infestation.
There's a book you can read. It's by Elmer Josephson. It's called God's Keys to Health and Happiness. He goes into detail about pigs and what you should and shouldn't eat. I read that book back in the 80s. And I tell you what, when I came out with a heart disease thing, let me just give you a story. Okay, I've got this pericarditis crap, right? I mean, it's horrible. They didn't know how to treat it back in the 80s. And I'm in a misery. I feel horrible. I mean, I'm coughing up I'm drinking a bottle of cough medicine like twice a day.
It's rough.
It's awful. And I ended up, had a friend of mine. His name was Jeff. He was a naturopathic physician. He came over to my house in Tallahassee to watch the Florida State-Miami game. I didn't go to the game with him because I was too sick.
Yeah.
And I remember I ordered pepperoni pizza for dinner.
While you had pericarditis.
I didn't. I didn't know any better because doctors didn't know how to treat it. I had no idea what this is. I mean, I'm in my 20s. I'm thinking I'm whatever. And Jeff comes in. He starts picking the parasites off, the pepperoni off, and puts them on a plate. And I said, well, that's the best part. He goes, I'm not going to eat that. So I put all that pepperoni on my pizza that he took off. Because I'm German.
Yeah.
Germans eat pork.
Sausage,
really. Oh, gosh. And that's how I used to eat, and I, along with 18 cups of coffee a day. It's one I'm even here.
And the thing about it is I'm not going to sit here and paint some halo over it. I understand, especially in Germany, some of the sausage, some of the bratwurst they have over there is really good. But if you're going to try to – make sure you try to get beef.
Yeah, get the beef bratwurst.
Get the beef ones on here.
Make sure it's not mixed with pork.
See, and the junk food, one last thing is I want to close up this. The biggest thing is when you start becoming a label reader, make sure you're looking out for the high fructose corn syrup, the artificial food colorings, and the seed oils. And basically, those are the main ones. And the hydrogenated oils. Canola oil, soybean oil,
corn oil,
all that stuff. And the high fructose corn syrup and the colorings. Those are the main ones. Now, there's a whole host of other ingredients you really need to look out for. But those are some of the main ones where if you look and those ingredients are in the ingredient list, there's a high probability the food quality is really, really poor. Because most companies that use those three ingredients or a combination of those one or two and three ingredients, they aren't going to use any other quality ingredients in their food. And it's a very, very ultra-processed food.
Well, the cattle, which they think we are, by the way, they think that they can feed us any kind of slop they want.
Yep.
They don't eat the stuff.
Yep.
They bring their own chefs.
Well, it's the same thing, you know, that we see now with DEI and BlackRock and these companies where you have a specific group of individuals that run these countries from a specific country, and they go in and they basically want to demand that everybody has this diversity and equity in the United States. But some of their countries, they have zero diversity whatsoever.
You're talking about Israel again?
I didn't say that. Did you say that?
Israel.
I didn't say that.
Well, Israel's an apartheid state.
Anyways, in other news, student loan repayments. What to expect in 2025? I want to bring this one up to you guys so people are aware of this, and also, too, to make sure you got your kids that aren't stacking up insane student loans. As 2025 approaches, they said student loan borrowers who have benefited from low or no repayments, enhanced pathways of forgiveness, or interest-free deferments will likely experience some serious changes. This is pretty crazy. I didn't even not even know until somebody sent me this the other day. So the federal government has confirmed it is going to restart all collection activity on loans in 2025. The COVID forbearance program, spanning from March 2020 to September 2023, halted all collection activities on defaulted federal student loans. They're then extended another year for repayments where interest could still accrue on student loan balances, but borrowers would not enter into default. For those who are still unable to pay back their loans going into 2025, they're going to be subject to garnishment of wages, garnishment of tax refunds, garnishment of Social Security benefits, and credit reporting agencies will start at the beginning of the year.
Whoa. Credit reporting agencies?
Yes.
They're going to dump your beacon score.
Dump your beacon
this
score.
Sounds like a social credit score thing.
This sounds like the bankers are taking over again every aspect of loans.
Little Freudian slip there. Yeah.
No, and you know what? I'm so sick of this because I've seen so many friends I know, so have you, so many people I know that got into this debt with the college. And so, and a lot of times you need to be aware of stuff when you're young. You don't need to be getting involved in debt you don't need. But sometimes when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, you make some stupid mistakes. The problem is, with these stinking bankers, there was predatory lending, and they knew that most of these kids were never going to be able to pay these loans off, and these loans start doubling and building on themselves after a couple of years because of the interest and the fees and the back fees that they have onto them. And now they're saying they're going to start garnishing your wages, your tax refunds, your Social Security benefits.
No, they're not joking.
And they're going to dump your beacon score. So not only are you trying to work, you're trying to pay your bills in a hyperinflationary currency world. You're trying to pay this stuff off. Now they're going to start stealing your money, and they're going to dump your beacon score.
So your interest rates go even higher.
Kind of like they're trying to turn everybody into slaves.
You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, I watched a video sent to me by one of the top alternative medical doctors in the world. Everybody would know the person's name if I gave it to you, but I'm not going to give it to you because I don't want that person to start getting a bunch of emails. And this guy was interesting. He said that the entire alt media now, probably 95% of it, and I'm estimating what he's saying here, about 95%, has been co-opted by CIA, MI6, and Mossad.
Not surprising.
And he said that what they do is that they're coming in now, and everybody who tells the truth about what Israel's doing as far as being an apartheid state, or everybody who tells the truth about the Zionists run the United States in both houses of Congress, like Traffic had talked about, and that basically we have dual Israeli citizens, about 60 of them in Congress and in the Senate, and they can swing a vote any way they want. Mm-hmm. Like Chuckie Schumer right now is coming out and saying the way he's going to control Trump is through the appointment of the judges.
I just saw that 220-something judge they've now appointed.
And Chuckie Schumer is a dual Israeli citizen. And so you start seeing that these guys control everything. And then he came in and he said something that was simply not true. He said Trump is catering to the Zionists. That's why almost all of his entire cabinets are Zionists. And Zionists is a political party. It's like the Republicans or Democrats. No, it's not a big deal if you talk about this. But the reality is they want to bring in Israel and bring in a third temple to bring in the Antichrist, and they want to rule the world out of Jerusalem. That's their words, not mine. And the crazy part about it is they all want like 2,500, they call Goyim slaves. And the sad part about it is that you sit back and you look at it and you go, this can't be true. And what the man was saying yesterday, he already had hundreds of thousands of views on this, and he's very articulate, is that Donald Trump is playing and doing he's basically inferred his 300 multidimensional chess. Excuse me while I throw up here on the table, and that he's going to basically show the Zionists what the truth is. Well, here's the problem. His own daughter is a hardcore Shabbat Kabbalist. Yeah, who used to go pray and continues to pray at the tomb of Schneerson, who claimed to be Messiah for the Jewish people. And you think, well, man, Ted, you're really going there today. Yeah, I'm going there today. I figured, what the heck? It's a top 10 food never to eat show, and we're going to talk about all of it.
It's Friday.
And, you know, so Donald Trump's grandchildren, you know, basically from her are Jewish. And, you know, and she worked heavily and donated heavily to Shabbat Lubavitch, who basically worked from the Zohar, which basically is tied together with 17 Zibi from 1666. And when he came in and said he was the Messiah, and he said the only way to get God to come back to the planet was either to make everything super righteous or super evil. He chose evil. And he's the one who brought the Rothschilds in through Jacob Frank over 100 years later. So all of this stuff is being done around us, including now garnishing your wages, taking your money away from by these international bankers. And I hate to say, I'm not saying that they're Jewish because they're not. They claim to be Jews, but they are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan.
My big one here is this. They're going to garnish your Social Security.
Yeah.
So you get, no, you got to think about, follow this for me a second.
You're 65 years old.
You're in your 60s, okay? This is money that has been stolen from you for the past 40 years against your will. Nobody consents to Social Security at all. It's taken against your will out of your check. Oh, we're going to pay it back to you in 40 years. Yeah. With one of the worst investments in recorded history, when you look at what that money was worth 40 years ago, what it's worth now, yeah. Oh, we're going to give you $2,500 a month. Oh, by the way, you still haven't paid off your student loans from the last 30, 40 years. So we're going to steal the money that was already stolen from your check, and we're going to keep it and make sure you don't get it back now. Because you basically have a complete and totally usury, predatory loan that has been well paid back.
And this is the synagogue of Satan. This is from Sabbatean Kabbalist Luke. That's why you hear me say Sabbatean. That's from Sabbatean Zevi. Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan. This is the group that claim to be Jews, but they are not. I mentioned them twice in the book of Revelation. They're not Jewish. They're Satanists.
There was a video that was about, it was like 4 or 5 years ago, and it was right before COVID, and they were interviewing these people that had gotten this horrific student loan debt. And one of the guys, he had his paperwork, his original stuff, and he'd been fighting with them for years because he had defaulted on his loans. And he had basically gone into debt, I think it was around $50,000 in total student loan debt over his 4-year period. And he was showing the paperwork. He'd been fighting with them for like 15 years, and he had paid back an enormous amount. He now owed like $200,000, and he showed that between the payments and the interest and what he had made, he had paid back like $70,000.
Well, what they did,
he had paid back the entire loan technically on numbers.
And they've made it so you can't discharge it through bankruptcy. It's predatory lending is what it is, and it's unconstitutional. Yeah. You should be able to bankrupt it.
He had paid back over $20,000 essentially in interest over this time period, including the principal, but they still told him now, you still owe us $200,000.
That's why Jesus had enough of it. He came out and said, the root of all evil is the love of money. The root of all evil is the love of money. It's not money. It's the love of it, the greed, the avarice. This is what happened to Satan in the beginning. That's why he got taken down. And he already did all this once before. And we talk about it in Angel Wars. And you can see that on our website under healthmasters.com. You can look it up underneath the Global Star, and you'll see it says Angel Wars. And you can listen to the whole presentation of what happened here in the beginning. And, you know, and Satan's already been judged. He's already gotten burned up, yeah. And now he's running around looking like he's a...
And that's why, guys, make sure you're following us on thebrowershow.com. Make sure you're following us on the different platforms that we have on here. We're putting this together every single day for you, especially on Rumble and multiple other platforms. You can also follow us and contact us on the forum if you want. Watch live on here. Follow the downloads. All types of different things we've been doing on this thebrowershow.com just for you guys. So make sure you're staying up to date on it and you're getting all the latest updates and news. And it's now happened. The CDC has now reported that the bird flu has now mutated in humans. Now, if anybody believes this has been happening naturally, I got some great, great, great oceanfront property to sell you in Kansas. Just, if you actually believe.
First of all, you don't know if the story's even true.
I, you know what I believe? I believe they've been manipulating the crap out of this thing for last year, just like they did with gain-of-function research with the COVID virus.
With Charles Lieber.
That we've sent over to China after we figured it out in Fort Detrick to make them start figuring out how to weaponize it. That all this stuff has been heavily documented now, and now they're saying basically the U.S. CDC has found mutations in samples taken from a man infected with the first severe case of avian bird flu in the United States, mutations that were not present in the specimens collected from the flock. The agency began analyzing the samples from the patient. They confirmed last week that man was infected with D1.1 genotype of the virus that has been detected in wild birds. And they said that essentially the strain differs from the B3.13 genotype detected in dairy cows, human, and poultry across the country. And the agency is now updating, saying that the two respiratory specimens collected are going to cause severe respiratory problems.
One person.
Now, here's why this is just twofold on this article. A, this is fear porn to keep everybody terrified so they can roll out the shot in a couple months. There's something they're going to get ready to do when Trump gets into office. I'll tell you that right now.
This guy yesterday was saying, I listened to the video. He goes, well, Donald Trump, the reason he rolled out Operation Warp Speed like he did was to prevent the lockdowns and sending us to FEMA camps. And I'm like, wait a minute. This guy was just it sounded like he was QAnon.
Trump 100% QAnon. I'll tell you right now, I don't mean Trump didn't even have an option on warp speed. They told him that was a military operation that superseded all authority in the United States. That was essentially a medical martial law.
I love a lot of stuff that Trump says, but now he wants to make Canada another state, wants to make, Greenland or Iceland a state or Greenland a state. He wants to make, to take over the Panama Canal. He can't do any of these things. He won't even be able to deport people.
Well, the thing is, I love my Canadian customers, but Canada wouldn't be hard for us to invade. They don't have any guns.
Oh, that's terrible.
That was just a joke.
Paul Craig Roberts.
But you guys want to come to the United States, we're here. We're always
Paul Craig Roberts says it this way. We love our Canadian customers. We do.
I love you guys. I really do. That was probably a bad joke.
And I'm sure some of you have guns.
I know a lot of you got guns.
As President-elect Trump's inauguration approaches, Trump supporters are happy in their thoughts that Trump will halt the inflow of migrant invaders, pardon the wrongly imprisoned January the 6th attendees, stop America's participation in wars and benefit for only Israel. Funny he said that, isn't it? And hold accountable scoundrels like FBI Director Wray, A.G. Garland, a large number of FBI, DOJ, and CIA operatives who committed high treason by engaging in frame-ups with the President of the United States. The ruling establishment is unlikely to accept these goals and can use it over the House and Senate that its campaign contributions provide to water down, to not block these initiatives. It is time for MAGNA America to think beyond specific agenda terms. The restoration of America requires a restoration of truth, justice, and the American way. Kind of sounds like Superman, doesn't it? And the rule of law, respect for the Constitution. The restoration of truth requires the breakup of the six mega corporations that own 90% of the American media, controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan, I may add. And print, the TV media must be turned to a combination of private and smaller corporate hands. And this combination of all the radio and TV talk shows owned by the same people, which he just mentioned, was done by Bill Clinton back in 93. The restoration of justice requires the abolition of plea bargains when guilt to be determined by jury and not by self-incrimination. The restoration of the rule of law requires serious punishment of prosecutors, weaponize law, and turn it into a weapon in the hands of the state instead of a shield for the people. And to restore the respect for Constitution requires a total cutoff of federal funding for every university, the law school of which disrespects the Constitution. I like that. This does not mean that reforms cannot be achieved. They have been reforms over the course of history, many of which were ill-considered and damaging. The constitutional grounds for some reforms were non-existent and were invented by progressive Supreme Court judges to serve ideological agendas. Bad judgment aside, the Constitution does not prevent reforms. He's got an article. I want to have you guys read through it. And he also has said that at the very end, my fear is that Trump, having assembled a government of Zionists, this is why we're talking about this today, okay? It's just that bad. It's a whole government of Zionists. This is the political party will achieve nothing but a war with Iran for Israel's interest. That's Paul Craig Roberts saying that, not Ted. And so we find this is all true, that we start seeing all this stuff and we start to realize
he made a comment there as far as, the rule of law and prosecutions and everything we've seen. And, that's why I've been proud of my brother a lot, because he's a state prosecutor for the state of Florida. He's a prosecutor. And, he specifically told me when he went into that, he wanted to be a prosecutor because he wanted to make a difference and actually have the rule of law served. And there's been numerous cases now he's showed me and talked to me about where there were just these frivolous, asinine, completely out of control police state engagements that people should never have been arrested. They should never have been charged or stuff. And he comes in and he's like, listen, I'm going to drop this. Or he gives him some like really, really, really ridiculous plea bargain out. It's six months of probation or something stupid. And just get out of it. And but there's just been so many cases he's told me about where either law enforcement or even other prosecutors, they want to try to make a point to try to basically show off, their peacock feathers, how cool they are, how bad, bad butt they are, and make a point. He said it's nauseating. And he said some of the worst he dealt with the FWC recently.
Oh, yeah, for wildlife.
Yeah, I can't even really give the information on there. He said, but they were so out of control what they were trying to do. And then they refused to basically drop anything. They turned it in. They said, well, we're not going to drop it.
Well, okay. No, what happens is this, and I've seen it happen before with me.
Yeah.
And I've had it happen before. You get a cop who's probably jacked up on steroids.
In some cases.
I'm just saying in some cases.
Yeah.
All right. And they basically have a badass attitude.
Yeah.
Excuse my language. Because they want to come in and prove how bad they are.
Yeah.
Okay. And they want to, and if you do something they don't like, they're going to punish you.
Yep.
And they come up with an unbelievably horrible attitude to start with.
Yeah.
And then you say something back to them. And it just escalates.
And then it just escalates rapidly.
And all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, you were doing 15 miles an hour with a speed limit. You didn't use a turn signal. You made an illegal lane change. You were traveling too close. Now they can give you 14 point totals.
Oh, yeah.
If you ain't say anything about it, okay, put your hands behind your back. You're under arrest now.
Resisting.
And you're like, I didn't do anything. Yep, you're going to jail.
Yep.
And all of a sudden now you're sitting there going, what the heck just happened?
Yep.
I'm at the BMW dealership. I'm eating ice cream with Harrison. That's probably why he's like this.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I forgot he was there with that.
You know,
ironically.
A cop walks in and goes, who's driving this fancy little sports car? And I say, well, I'm not driving it. It's getting washed. I mean, what do you want? He goes, you're under arrest. You went through a seatbelt check.
Seatbelt check.
I'm like, where were you?
Seatbelt check.
And I was wearing my seatbelt.
Now they have stopped those in the state of Florida, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Those got deemed massively unconstitutional.
Well, no. Three out of the five people involved in that little deal got fired. And I, of course, all my charges were dropped. They charged me with it. They had me handcuffed in the back of a squad car.
They were
No, listen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sitting in the car, right? They got me handcuffed. And I'm like, what the heck are they? And then somebody else drives up with my car.
Yeah, from the car wash.
From the car wash. And how do I know they didn't go through the seatbelt check, right? And so I'm sitting there going, this is really great. And all of a sudden I lean over and I look down my pocket. I got a .45 Kimber in my pocket, chambered.
While in the back seat of the squad car.
Hammerback in the back of the car. So I said to the guy sitting there, I said, I need to talk to you. Shut up! I need to talk to you. Shut up! I said, dude, my name's not Shut Up and I've got a weapon in my pocket. What? Why didn't you tell me? I've been trying to tell you that. So he gets me out. He pulls the gun out. And now they've done this little background check on me. They found nothing wrong. And I said to him, I said,
And they just arrested somebody and put him in the back of a cop car with a loaded firearm on their person still.
Don't talk
about completely no protocol whatsoever.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. So he pulls his gun out of my pocket and he goes, oh, wow, it's chambered. I'm like, it's useless without being chambered. And then the cop who was in charge comes by the next day, brings me my driver's license back and tells me, he goes, well, you need to carry more than one magazine with you. And I'm like, unbelievable. And, you know, of course, everything got dropped. It took about a year. I hired a good defense attorney.
It was insane, though.
No.
You had to go through that. And then the crazy part about it was they stopped the seatbelt checks because in the state of Florida, they were ruled because they were secondary violations.
Oh, yeah.
If you got pulled over for speeding.
And I was wearing my seatbelt.
You didn't have a seatbelt on, right? So you're speeding, you get pulled over, you don't have a seatbelt on, you get a seatbelt ticket. Well, Lakeland PD and numerous other cities decided they were going to use this and weaponize this law. And they were going to go literally, they just surrounded red lights and they'd stop and run blind corners. And when people would stop, they'd start pointing people to pull over if they saw they're not seatbelted.
Apparently, that's what they did with me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm in a car about that high off the ground, zipping around a bunch of lifted trucks here in Polk County and semi-trucks.
We like
lifted
trucks.
You know, but it's one of those deals. And so they chased me down. They chased me down. Had five cop cars come to the BMW dealership where we were eating ice cream.
Yeah.
And they surrounded it, lights on. I'm thinking, wow, what's going on out there?
Yeah.
I had no idea it was about me. And I thought, this is insane. And Harrison was with me.
I never put those two and two together.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you that was a contributing factor.
That's about 15 years ago. He was like a little 11, 12 years. He's crying.
Yeah.
He didn't know what daddy did. Daddy didn't know what daddy did.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what daddy did. And then they said, and the write-up said, well, we couldn't see in the car, so we don't know who was driving the car because the windows were tinted. Oh, my God. What a mess.
Anyway,
I'm going to read you something. Christmas 1863 during the Civil War. I heard the bells on Christmas Day by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men, and thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men, till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound of the carols drowned, of peace on earth, goodwill to men, it was as if an earthquake rent the hearth stones of a continent and made forlorn the households born. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men, and in despair I bowed my head. But there is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song. Of peace on earth, goodwill to men, then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. with peace on earth, goodwill to men. You know, guys,
no, that was awesome.
We've got to realize
civil war.
Yeah, but God is still in charge. Jesus, who made the heavens and the earth, and who built you and me, by the way, he created us. He's still in charge. He's on the throne with God, and we need to remember who he is this Christmas season and understand that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that this is the day the Lord hath made, that God is not dead, that truth will prevail, and that God is still on the throne, and he's watching all of these clowns down here do what they did. He's already come back, flooded the planet twice, including with Noah, and before the pre-Adamic race. He did all of that. He knows what's going on, and he's going to take care of you and take care of me. And it's like that one line from the, how should I say, it was from Gladiator when Russell Crowe's being approached by the emperor, and he goes, I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Okay?
And
not that we should be seeking vengeance, because we shouldn't, because we walk in love, but the truth of the matter is, these people who do this, they're going to find out, just like it says in Isaiah chapter 15, when they're all sitting in hell and they're all chained up, and all of a sudden Lucifer comes walking down, and he's all chained up, and they're going, hey, what the heck just happened? This was supposed to be your world, our victory. We're all chained up with you here in hell. And I'm paraphrasing. But the reality is, that's what's going to happen. These 17 Kabbalists, Luciferian synagogue of Satan, that have been ruling the world, the ancient Canaanite religions, the last 4,000 years, they're going to have their comeuppance. And we're going to see that. That's why they're so scared of Christians. That's why they're so scared of Jesus. They're so scared of the name of Jesus. They don't talk about it. You hear all these people. You know, Donald Trump had his Christmas message. How many times he mentioned Jesus in the Christmas message? It's the birth of Christ is what we're celebrating. How many times does any politician talk about Jesus when they have a Christmas message? Just thought I'd ask you that. This show, we're going to talk about Jesus all the time. And we're going to tell you the truth of what's going on. Whether people like it or they don't like it, we're going to talk to you and tell you the truth, because I've learned something. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And with God plus one, it's always a majority. And the will of God is not optional in my life. And like Joshua says, for me and my household, we are going to serve God. We're going to serve the Lord. And that's what we're going to do on this show as long as my breath holds. And I love you guys, and I pray for you guys all the time, and I thank you for your support. But I want to give you a real Christmas message today, that God is not dead, that faith prevails, and that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is the beginning, and he is the end. And we keep faith in him, the creator of our universe. At that point in time, what have we to fear? That's what the Bible constantly says, fear not, and also called it out earlier. All of this stuff with all of this fear porn.
Oh, yeah.
But that's why we don't cover that junk
on
our show.
Keep your immune system strong.
Keep your immune system strong. Go down the road. Take your supplements. Love Jesus. And just do the best you possibly can. And keep your kids in church. And keep praying. And I thank you for your prayers. But if I'm not careful, I'll start doing a full-blown sermon here in a second. But, okay, Austin, what's your next story?
Well, this was another health article. It ties back into the top 10 foods you never eat. This popped up. I really wanted to cover it today. Mm-hmm. Because it's a big deal, and there's so much research that's coming out now about canola oil and soybean oil and what it does to the gut. And every time I see it, I bring it up because I really want to encourage people to really stay away from this stuff, because it keeps getting worse and worse. And it says here how vegetable oil affects the gut and the brain together. It says last year
America so toxic
12.25 million metric tons of soybean oil.
It makes me foggy if I eat this stuff by the next day. I feel horrible.
12.2 million metric tons. Do you understand how much oil that is?
Well, I'm telling you, if I go to a restaurant and I found out they've used this stuff,
yeah,
and I think, well, I'll try it one time. It'll be okay. The next day, I have the worst brain fog ever. I do. Even the magnesium brain food doesn't clear it up. But now if I keep taking the magnesium brain food every day, it clears up in a couple of days. But your body's got to get rid of the sludge because it gets in your intestinal
tract. Yeah, it says when you see a product ingredient simply labeled vegetable oil, it almost always made from either soybean oil or a blend of soybean and corn oil. And the research study in the published Journal of Traditional and Complementary Medicine found severe neuroinflammation and gut damage in mice that were fed soybean oil compared to those who were fed lard. Lard. They compared lard to soybean oil, and soybean oil is horrific.
During the 20-week study, researchers observed damage to both the blood-brain barrier. That's why it affects the brain like it does.
Yeah.
And intestinal barrier in the soybean oil. The mice experienced a reduction of beneficial gut bacteria and an increase in pathogenic bacteria, resulting in brain inflammation and damage. brain inflammation and from damage to the BBB, blood-brain barrier, has been linked to neurological disorders and neurodegenerative conditions from depression and sleep disorders to diseases such as Alzheimer's and multiple sclerosis. We don't make this stuff up, guys. This stuff is bad.
Another study in June 2024 linked neurological impairments to soybean oil and corn oil. Mice exposed to these oils from early gestation through adulthood showed impaired locomotor activity, motor coordination, and spatial memory. The researchers observed depression and anxiety-like behavior, suggesting that neurobehavior alterations came due to excessive oxidative stress in the brain.
So if you want to give yourself Alzheimer's disease, eat this junk.
And this is one of the biggest things. And, I never really put this on as far as the protocols with this. We talk about, the healthy mood support with the 5-HTP and the B-complex and omega-3s. Those supplements are crucial and need to be the basis. But I think some of the biggest things now people need to start looking at if you're running into depression problems or anxiety problems is really look at the diet. Not just at sugar. Sugar's a big one, but looking at the oil that's being used in your diet and the regular food you're consuming every single day.
I personally think, my personal opinion, that regular organic cane sugar won't do anything like
that. No,
this.
Absolutely not. Not the research I've been seeing. Mm-hmm. Now, high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, yeah, it will.
But actual true raw cane sugar, mm-hmm. I still think it's better than using this stuff.
It is.
Your diet. Yeah.
Yeah, and we used to talk about how bad sugar was when we were young, and that we didn't realize how much better it was going to be than the high fructose corn syrup.
No, in the soybean oil now, what it does, the fact that it's causing when you're reading that here, showing that it observed damage in the blood-brain barrier and intestinal barrier in the soybean oil group, that should lead everyone. This is why RFK Jr. has been bringing this up.
And that's why when I eat that stuff in a restaurant.
You feel groggy.
No, I feel horrible the next day.
You feel groggy. I'm no
sense
too.
And I tell you what, guys, when I stay at home and eat, I feel so much better.
I don't leave the compound.
No, but I mean, you go out on a date and you're eating something you shouldn't ought to eat, or they want to go to some weird restaurant and then they want to order alcohol. It's awful. And you think to yourself, this is horrible. And then now I'm eating junk food. I'm having to, and I don't buy alcohol, by the way. Well, I have before, but I'm not going to have it, but it's very rare.
Okay, everybody knows how you feel about it. You already went through it. You don't have to reiterate.
Okay, my mom went through World War II. I'm going to tell you something personal. And she got really messed up in the war, and she self-medicated with beer and alcohol, and my granddad did the same thing, and I saw that stuff, and then we had that German beer tavern, and I saw all that bad stuff happen there, and it really was like aversion therapy to me, and I just don't like it. And then, but like I said, occasional Bailey's or something, or a glass of beer is not a big deal. But you can't be drinking that stuff every day. You just can't be doing it.
This is right here. This is the omega-6s, which is soybean oil. They said adversely affects the environment required to sustain a healthy gut microbe.
Well, you can't have it. You can't
have it. Imagine if you have eaten this stuff and you're trying to get back on track, you definitely need to be on the probiotics. Some form of them.
Yeah.
That would help out significantly. That's what I'm seeing here. It says increased risk of infections and chronic inflammatory diseases, such as ulcerative colitis. The researchers also cautioned against the use of corn oil because essentially the abundance of the omega-6 fatty acids introduces another problem. Golly.
The more unsaturated omega-6 oil has, the more easily the oil will oxidize and expose to light and air, and even more easily when exposed to heat. The faster oxidation occurs, the more attacks on your cell membranes, lipid proteins, and every part of your internal body. That damage from linoleic acid heavy ratio will promote localized oxidative stress and inflammation. And what they're not saying here, and I'm going to say it very clearly, that causes cancer.
Yep.
And period.
It says this. Listen to this, though. This is why it ties in. The process doesn't happen in 1 week or 1 month. It takes time for the burden of oxidized omega-6s to build up. Your body can handle some of the spontaneous reactions thanks to detoxification, like the N-acetylcysteine and the liver support, mm-hmm. which uses glutathione and can basically get it out of the body. But when you eat this food on a regular basis, long-term, it continues to build up, and eventually the body cannot detoxify it out of the system.
Here you are in a restaurant cooking with these oils compounds. The problem is research shows they produce more unstable toxic compounds, such as aldehydes when exposed to high heat. Aldehydes are harmful because they are highly reactive with DNA and proteins. In other words, they cause cancer, and new research links exposure to them with premature aging. So you get old, you get cancer, you have heart disease, you have diabetes, and then you die and your joints hurt when you use these oils. So yeah, how about
ironically,
never?
That's the ad beside the
thing. Oh yeah, arthritis, diet, inflammation. Yeah.
You gotta wonder, what in the world I guess I already answered my own question. Why in the world they think this stuff would be okay?
While you may not use these compounds in your home or take, maybe when you go to restaurants, more takeout places you buy default because it's cheaper.
Wow. Gosh.
Yeah. So go to a good restaurant. Don't be using restaurants like this.
And that's the thing you won't notice too. You go to a high quality restaurant, a lot of times you can ask them what they'll use. You can ask them to use butter. I told you, like that one breakfast restaurant went to. I want some of the potatoes.
Soybeans are over 90% of the U.S. oilseed production. Additionally, more than 90% of U.S. corn and soybeans are processed using genetics.
So it's GMO. So not only are you getting the soybean,
it's got glyphosate in it.
It's loaded with glyphosate. They spray it with Roundup all year long to keep the weeds down.
And you wonder why we're leading the world when it comes to heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. You wonder why the leading cause of death to children under the age of 14 other than accidents is cancer.
Soybean oil was never used for cooking or consumed by humans until the 20th century around World War II. Primarily was lamp oil. Lamp oil. They used it as lamp oil.
And the soaps.
It was used in soaps. Soybeans were part of the diet only in a form of fermented food such as tofu and soy sauce. We examine the availability use of the modern oils through history. See, the oil is not easy to extract. Soybeans are not fruits like olives or avocados.
Hexane is a solvent. That's how they do it, which is evaporated. There you go.
So again, I'm not going to spend more time on this. I'm going to link this on the website. You guys can read about it. I beat this horse all the time with as far as this soy oil, this corn oil.
But guess who pushes this stuff? Let me ask you a question. If you know that eating this stuff causes cancer and makes you die, if you know that eating pork causes cancer and makes you die, let me ask you a question. Does Satan want you to eat this stuff?
This would be yes.
Okay, I'll stop for a second. What do you think?
That's a dark question, but I mean, dude.
Okay. Does God want you to eat it? No. God says, don't do this. You're going to get these diseases if you do this. And then God gives you the cliff notes in Deuteronomy. He tells you what to eat to stay healthy, and he tells you what to eat if you want to die. And then he says you can choose life, you can choose death. Now, you need to pick which one you want. Then he goes, please choose life. He's talking to these stubborn, stiff-necked Jews that are coming out of, you know, Egypt, and they don't want to listen to anything. He has a pillar of fire keeping them warm and clouds covering them by day. He parts the Red Sea. And what do? Let's have an orgy and sacrifice some humans when Moses goes up on the mountain. I mean, it's crazy. You can read it yourself in the book of Exodus, and you think, wow, this is nuts. And so you start to realize that Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan was even working back then as part of the ancient Canaanite religions that were coming out of Egypt. Always remember, that's the group that runs the planet.
True.
And that's who they are. That's why we choose life, we choose health, we choose God, we choose Jesus, period.
There, 100%.
I like that.
That's well said.
We need to have a segment on. Tell Mike that he needs to put that one on a little
snippet. You guys want some snippets? I got them on the site. I show you guys that all the time. Be sure to go in there if you want downloads. I got all types of snippets we have up here. You can go in. You can download these. Give me camera 4. You can go in here and click on these episodes, and they have tons of snippets that we put together that you can post, you can send to people. If you don't want to go in and basically have you go in and download them. If you don't want to go in and have to actually record all of them and cut them up yourself. So we have this stuff available for a reason. You guys need anything, you know, get a hold of us. Please give us a call if you got any questions on the new website or the old website, but the new website primarily, a lot of people are still working on it and playing with it and enjoying it. Lana's at the office on the phones right now. She's been helping us out. She's helping a lot of customers call in that have issues with the new site because they can't seem to figure it out in some cases. I don't know why. It's really simple.
I like the old site.
But sometimes you have to change. There's a reason why we don't use, you know, Nokia brick phones anymore either from the 90s.
I like the Nokia brick phones.
We know you like those. But we built it for a reason. So if you got any questions, give us a call. We're at the office to help you guys out Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Place the orders over the phone. Help you guys get on the website.
And the old website still works great.
It still works great. But this one's got – you can have the auto ship on here. You can sign for auto ship. You don't have to do anything. You ship products.
I like the way the new one lays out better. Yeah. But the old one, if you like it, it still works fine.
And with the purple sticks on sale, product of the week. Check them out over the weekend. 20% off. If you haven't tried them yet, I highly suggest you do them because they are here for you guys to get as much as you want. We got them all over the place. We take them every single day. There you go.
Yes.
You guys have a fantastic evening. We'll talk to you again on this show Monday, as always.
And by the way, thanks again for your support. We really love you guys. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. And you guys have a wonderful weekend. God bless.